Welcome to the OIS Podcast. Today, Dr. Paul Karpecki sits down with Brian Strem, CEO of Kiora Pharmaceuticals. They discuss Brian's transition from the bench to business, Kiora's recent rebrand, and its three-product pipeline. Take it away, Paul.
Thank you, and welcome to the OIS Podcast. I'm Dr. Paul Karpecki. I practice in Lexington, Kentucky, and I'm honored today to get to speak to Brian Strem. Brian has an incredible history in terms of his role and background, what he's been able to achieve, and now as CEO of Kiora. And for those who aren't familiar with that company, we'll talk a little bit about what that name is and what that means and why the name changed. But I'm really excited to have you here, Brian. Thanks for making time in your busy schedule.
Paul, thanks for having me. Pleasure to catch up.
So let me start right from the very beginning, because this will be kind of an introduction to all those in attendance. We have a great group of attendees when it comes to these podcasts. They range from obviously practitioners in ophthalmology, optometry, but also industry, strategics, et cetera. So it's a wonderful environment. And I always get a lot of great comments on these interviews where we get into kind of something new area, but also getting to know the person. So I'm going to start with that. Let's begin by having you walk through your personal background. You know, for the audience, let them know where'd you grow up? What were there early some entrepreneurial influences early in your life that drew you into what you're doing today? Because you have an incredible amount of energy and passion. And was that always there? What drew you into this kind of field and level of what you're doing today?
Yeah, happy to. So I'm actually one of those few kids born and raised in Southern California, from Agora Hills, if you will. And spent my whole upbringing pretty much in that great weather location. From an early influence perspective, actually, I'd probably say on the entrepreneurial side, my father was probably one of the biggest. He, in his mid-20s, started a textile decorating company in our garage. I was probably about a year old at the time. And he grew that into a proper U.S.-based industry-leading textile company, had hundreds of employees, and really, you know, just did a fabulous job of growing something and getting passionate about a pursuit, if you will.
That's great. That influence at that level is really pretty amazing. I see we're such absorbers as children. We just are like sponges, and to see that happening. And I love the stories where they begin in a garage and see success, and you're going to pick those things up automatically. And obviously you're taking it to some high levels too. Where'd you go to school, and did you already kind of go into that, or was it a different background as in your case that you studied before, you know, going into this level that includes also the management side of things?
Yeah, so I'd say throughout high school, I was always very keen on the maths and sciences courses that I was taking. So it turned out my senior year, I was getting recruited to go to Cornell University for the obscure sport of pole vaulting, and they had a great bioengineering program, and that was something that I jumped straight into and saw as a really good, really emerging field that really got me excited and passionate. So spent my 4 years in the lovely weather of Ithaca, New York, which was certainly a bit of a culture shock for me, but really loved what I was studying, what I was doing. And then as a lot of, you know, juniors and seniors in college think about, well, what's next? And I just thought to myself, I don't really know, but I certainly enjoy learning more about these topics and how I can apply them potentially. I decided it was time to go to grad school, and of all places to go, wanted to go back home where it was nice and warm and sunny year round at UCLA. So jumped straight into a graduate program there, spent quite a bit of time obviously doing the coursework and a really exciting research thesis around stem cell populations from adipose tissue that could be used for autologous use. So loved my time in schooling, but then moved pretty quickly over to the industry side. And really started thinking about how can we take these discoveries that academic labs are often coming up with and really translating them to helping patients with unmet medical needs.
So what did you do coming right out of that? You started with one company. It was a small company. It was a large company. It was biotech, I imagine, given that kind of background. But, you know, and in Southern California, nicely, which had a lot of that kind of opportunity. And then how long did you kind of stay there? What was your path to eventually getting to Kiora?
Yeah, so my PhD thesis mentor was a plastic surgeon named Mark Hedrick. And Mark ended up spinning out a company from UCLA that I went and joined directly. And then we ended up getting acquired by a larger San Diego-based medical device company. So I essentially rolled straight into that newly, should we say, minted, publicly traded biotech company where I was on the bench doing a lot of translational research.
How did you enjoy that? Was it a neat experience? It's in a different world. Yeah, I bet it is. You're right at that fundamental level. You're right connected with it. How long did you do that for?
I was there about a decade. I think just touch under a decade, and actually went through a few different roles in the organization. Being a small company, as everyone here knows, you have to wear a fair amount of hats. And so we actually even had some commercialized products. And the company asked me to go out there and then start meeting with plastic and reconstructive surgeons and selling some of these products. So taking someone who's so used to being on the bench doing research to getting some commercial, you know, bag carrying experience, and then even coming back in-house and setting up collaborations with groups like BARDA in terms of how we can think about developing, again, these various therapeutics for areas that we know need to be filled.
It's a tough transition to go from bench work, which is at the fundamental level of it, to go carrying a bag, or was it just another exciting learning opportunity for you?
I'd say both. Oftentimes you want to just dive right into the science and that goes right over the customer's head. So certainly being able to interact more with the physician segments that are going to be using your products in a way that they can understand it versus the one that you tend to spend most of your time thinking about was a great learning opportunity.
Makes sense. And then how did iCare come about? Was it just with this opportunity here? Was it leading to that through other avenues?
Yeah, no, it was actually through other avenues. So after, again, about a decade at this company, Cytori, Shire decided that they wanted to get into the regenerative medicine space. And so I came in and became their first business development person there, being that I've been living in that regenerative medicine world for about a decade, and started helping build what would be a strategy that we could pursue under the leadership of Angus Russell, who was the CEO at the time. About a year into my time there, Angus actually transitioned out and Fleming Ornskov came in. And it was pretty clear that Fleming didn't really love regenerative medicine, but certainly wanted to get back into ophthalmology where he had a lot of personal experience running previous companies. So at that point, I saw the writing on the wall that, you know, I probably was going to be unemployed pretty quickly unless I was able to adapt and transition. And so went up to my superiors in the business development group and basically became the first BD person for Shire in ophthalmology, where with a multidisciplinary team that we put together, we're able to come up with the first strategy that Shire started to implement upon in terms of how can we become a new entrant into the ophthalmic space.
That is really neat. So that was right there with the eye and into the category of ophthalmology, the ophthalmic space, as you said. And, you know, what did you think of that change? Was it a dramatic change for eye care? Did it seem fairly seamless? Was it easy transition?
You know, I would say a lot of my previous work was in cardiovascular disease and a lot of other organ systems, never in the eye. I knew where the cornea was and the retina were, but that was probably about it. So it was definitely back to the Bio 101 books to brush up, if you will, on the ophthalmic biology and pathologies and really where the unmet need was. And that's where the team that we were able to put together at Shire was just so great because there were such a plethora of backgrounds that we could tap into everyone's experiences and knowledge and really come up with what we thought was an industry leading strategy.
And it certainly was. And congratulations on the execution of that from the BD level, you know, and the development of a product that you acquired, but then carried it through to the final phase, all the way through to then obviously Novartis, acquisition of the company. But you had a great team and it really began there in that area that you were in and leading for the eye care space. So congratulations. And so then obviously now that transition happened and the company went to Novartis. At that point, you kind of went back to that sort of other work. Do you have a transition group? You're on some boards. What led now to the final stage of becoming the CEO and director of this pharmaceutical company, Kiora?
Yeah, so there were certainly a few more stepping stones in between. So when Shire got acquired by Takeda, and obviously the asset, that their primary asset, Xiidra, went over to Novartis. Prior to that happening, though, the team was shutting down at San Diego, the offices for Shire, and they wanted me to relocate to Boston, and nothing against all my colleagues in Massachusetts, but decided that it really wasn't in the cards for me personally at that point in time. So ended up going up to Allergan, where now I'm going from essentially a blossoming ophthalmology business to really the 800-pound gorilla. And that was also a great experience. Met a ton of fabulous individuals who really knew the eye space inside and out, and was a business development professional there, working on a very small team where we were trying to essentially assess every technology out there and figure out how we can continue to build our portfolio, in addition to even out licensing some assets or partnering around others. So spent a few years there. Unfortunately, that was during the time that what was known as Valeant at the time, and now Bausch Health, launched a hostile bid for us. And so it was certainly not business as usual, as much as we hoped it was. And when we eventually were acquired by Actavis, I ended up taking a severance package and thinking I was going to take a nice summer off and enjoy the beach down here in San Diego where I live. But a colleague of mine came to me about a week and a half later over a cup of coffee with an asset that I found incredibly interesting for the potential treatment of adenoviral conjunctivitis. And so the next thing you know, I'm starting a company and ended up raising a Series A round and taking that asset through a phase two trial that read out with some really positive, exciting results there. In parallel, we were meeting with one of our KOLs, a gentleman up at University of Washington named Russ Van Gelder, who's the chairman of ophthalmology there, and casually talking about some of the other work that he was working on. And he told us about a collaboration with Rich Kramer at Cal Berkeley with regard to these small molecule photo switches. And we got really interested in that and ended up taking a license to that whole platform, which then became a second company called Bayon Therapeutics. And then about 6 months ago, one of the board members of iGate Pharma at the time reached out, seeing if I'd be interested at all in coming in to a public company and taking the helm there and really thinking about how we can essentially regroup and refocus a company that's been around for quite some time, but really has some exciting platforms to think about developing moving forward. And so with the acquisition of Bayon and me being appointed as CEO, that's where I started out at Kiora Pharmaceuticals, which is the new brand to what previously was known as iGate.
It's a great, great story all the way through, and a lot of interesting touch points. I always find it fascinating. I've been lucky to get to do some of these interviews, how the path people take and what they pick up each time and how they use that and build on it. And with your background being kind of very unique all the way from bench work and all that, you could build in a very different direction. It's obvious you've been able to achieve that. And it's good to have someone like you at the leadership position for a company like this in that regards. And so in your, how long have you been now CEO at Kiora?
I believe it's been a touch under 5 months now. So mm-hmm. It's still certainly a learning experience every day. But, you know, the best thing is we have a great team. We have some really promising assets and we're able to advance those programs forward. So I'm really excited to see where this company goes in the coming 6 months, 12 months, 18 months.
Yeah. What was most inspiring for you to take on this role as CEO of this other company? And then a little bit, maybe we'll even touch on the name change, if you're okay with that. Brought that on. I like the name, but I always like delving into how that happened. But first, you know, what inspired you to say, okay, yeah, I've had this great path. I've got another neat asset license. You took it through phase two. And now stepping into this role, which of the products either that you had or that you're looking at made this seem like an enticing opportunity?
Yeah. So I think, coming into this, obviously running private companies and the opportunity to go into public company land was something of a lot of interest to me and a way to be able to capitalize the organization without necessarily the, you know, quote unquote, hat in hand, going to the VCs, looking for your proper Series A, Series B, Series C rounds, and then eventually coming up either in the public markets or exiting through M&A. The idea to take a public company with what already had two really good and promising assets and then adding a third to it was really exciting. And that really was the I would say the impetus to drive me into saying yes to the opportunity. In addition to obviously a great team that I got to know much closer over the past 5 months. And so now we really are a proper spec pharma company, if you will, or spec biotech in the ophthalmic space. We're able to refocus and really re-strategize all of our programs, which I know in the past were a little bit more fragmented at some level, into a way that we think makes a lot of commercial sense and that will continue to get near-term inflection points and drive value to the company.
Tell me about the current products that you have in your portfolio and what the potential is for them.
Yeah, so we have rebranded the products as well as our rebranding of the overall company. So we now are really advancing three main programs. The first one is, I'm going to start with legacy product, and that was what we refer to as KEO-201. This is a chemically modified cross-linked hyaluronic acid that we've already taken through some late-stage trials in essentially surgical recovery following PRK, laser vision correction, where we showed that this eye drop actually significantly accelerates the rate of wound healing compared to today's current standard of care being bandage contact lenses. So the idea of an eye drop that can actually help patients recover from this type of surgery further, as well as potentially expanding that into a broader market of corneal abrasions, is something that I see as a huge unmet need. And how can we get these patients back feeling better, seeing clearer earlier following these types of wounds on the ocular surface? The second asset was actually through an acquisition that the company did in December of 20 of a Vienna-based biotechnology company called Panoptes Pharma, whereby we have a, or they had a third generation small molecule DHODH inhibitor. And in ophthalmology, we do a really good job of taking biology that's been figured out somewhere else and applying it to the eye in certain conditions of the eye that we think there's a lot of potential merit to develop assets in, even though they are different formulations typically. And knowing that Sanofi has a very successful franchise in the DHODH inhibition space for autoimmune diseases like RA and MS, mm-hmm. we saw an opportunity to leverage that underlying mechanism of action in the ocular surface diseases of things like ocular inflammation and dry eye disease. And so just yesterday, in fact, we announced some top line data on a phase 1/1B study, whereby we were able to show that this drug is safe and tolerable on the ocular surface, as well as actually, even though it was a very short study, get some real direction in terms of improving things like conjunctival hyperemia in patients with ocular surface inflammation versus the vehicle control. So we will be driving that program forward into proper larger phase 2 trials. And then the third program is the one that came from the Bayon acquisition, which is KEO-301. So this is now our posterior segment drug. And these are an incredibly exciting and novel class of therapeutics that essentially are built around these azobenzene cores, which enable the molecule to change shape upon the presence or absence of light. So I envision this as a small molecule approach to optogenetics, whereby they're trying to reinsert a protein that would be light sensitive into downstream cells, so retinal ganglion cells or bipolar cells. We actually have the ability to turn those cells into light sensing cells with this small molecule. And for us, that was a real game changer in terms of especially a lot of the inherited retinal diseases like retinitis pigmentosa, and knowing that we can actually target all forms of RP with this potential approach. And that study will start first in man, likely in Q3 of 22.
Those are exciting and very diverse in terms of portfolio, but of course, all eye care ophthalmic related, which is very exciting in of itself. And to come into a situation by bringing some in or that was there to have three in a portfolio is quite exciting. And it's also exciting in the sense that you have one late stage relatively, and then intermediate, and then startup in areas where you have unmet needs. And I could see a lot of applications even for the first one that we can apply and look to, and maybe further down the road, seek kind of approvals in that direction, because I know of a number of areas where this would help us as we practice clinically. So that's exciting and neat path. Has it been easy to take on that role in 5.5 months? You inherited a pretty good team, or did you have to make a number of changes, Brian?
You know, unfortunately, a few changes were made. but not too many, which is a good sign. And I'm really impressed with the team that's part of this organization. So I'm very happy with who we have now and how we're advancing things and the responsibilities that are being divvied up appropriately. But again, this was a pretty big change. We had essentially three separate companies that all came together and needed to get aligned on who we are as an organization. And that was a big part of the rebrand into a new name that was independent of all three of the existing, if you will, companies that came together here.
Mm-hmm. You went from, you know, single product and a category to multiple shots on goal here very quickly, which is also very exciting when you think about the value of the company and its potential and already, you know, being public. So pretty awesome pathway to get there. And it's good to see your leadership taking place and your style of it. Very, very effective already. You can even tell by the interview. So you've gone through a very unique kind of path. Any pearls of wisdom for our listeners who aspire to, I mean, you've worked in big companies too, but in really where you're at now, aspire to joining a startup enterprise or something at this level where you're bringing things through fruition as a company and all the way through to eventual FDA approval and availability to us doctors?
I mean, I know everyone's probably already heard it 1,000 times, but I would just say find something that you believe in and that you're willing to dedicate yourself to, because it's not easy, as everyone knows. And if it's something that you don't truly believe will make an impact, and for me, that impact, seeing patients hopefully get better, is the impact I'm striving for. That's what keeps me going every day. And then the other part of it would just be, you know, don't be afraid to follow the data. Oftentimes we get stuck on, you know, this drug has to be developed in this way for this indication, whereas your data may be saying something different. And for me, I'm always data driven. And if the data suggests something, then, you know, who are we to think that we're smarter than what the data is kicking out as? So it's okay to change course if there's a reason to, and that's a data driven decision.
That's outstanding. That was terrific. Ryan, I really appreciate all the insights you shared, the incredible path you've made. It's very exciting for Kiora. I definitely wonderful to see the development. I want to see how a company evolved this quickly into three competitive, exciting areas that are so diverse. Great to see you leading this company and in the eye care space. And as mentioned, thanks for sharing so much of your insights, of your history, of what you hope to do, and wish you continued success with leading Kiora Pharmaceuticals.
Paul, thank you very much. Been a real pleasure chatting with you today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening, everyone. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the OIS Podcast. Be sure to listen in next week as we discuss the latest innovations in ophthalmology with experts in science, medicine, and industry. Subscribe to our iTunes channel so you don't miss a thing. Got a story of your own to tell? Apply to be a guest at OIS.net.